Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Bhutang dhammang sanghang namassami. So I thought I'd say something about the four Brahmaviharas. This is Metta, Karuna, Mudita, Upeka, kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. In the Buddhist teaching, these are very important, high practices, and each leads to its kind of space, good space. Takes you to a good space of a different kind. And there are progressions. So, metta is the easiest. It's loving kindness. So we can perhaps see this for ourselves, that to be kind, it can be quite easy in some ways, and to be generous and kind. It's a bit easier than being compassionate, because compassion, the second one, and then there's a bit of something negative that creeps in there, isn't there? It's a response to suffering, so there has to be a kind of source of strength in the mind to there to be compassion rather than sorrow or grief or some other response to somebody's suffering. Be strong enough to be kind in the face of difficulty, a difficult situation. To try to help a difficult situation, just an unconditional kindness. It's less wisdom to work out how to be kind than to be compassionate, and just be kind in very simple ways, generous, loving, and compassionate. Then require a little more wisdom to know what's going to help that person suffering to be truly compassionate, just to hold our own mind steady. Be strong. Requires a little more strength. Mudita, sympathetic joy, and this is going against the tendency, the opposite of jealousy. Jealousy can be quite a strong one, can't it? To be able to have gladness for somebody else's good fortune can be quite difficult. We wish we were them, or wish we had their circumstances. It's a strong counterforce to the practice of sympathetic joy, particularly if we're having a difficult time ourselves. This can be a difficult one to have delight in the achievements of other people. It's quite a leap of the mind. Equanimity, the final one, then, is a cooler state of seeing karma. So Buddha often says that the way to cultivate this is to reflect on karma. This will bring us to a sense of equanimity. This is the resting state, the state we can rest in. The others are all active states. So it's often states, these practices are put forward that they can balance each other. So the compassion and equanimity are the cooler ones. Steadiness in the face of adversity. Equanimity very steady in the face of adversity, but this need to be brightened by metta and mudita. These are the bright ones, glad ones. We have a lot of metta and no karuna, no compassion, then we get a little bit overly enthusiastic, perhaps. out of balance that way. If we have too much compassion and not enough simple metta, we can get a little bit sorrowful. It's kind of thing. These also can balance each other or get out of balance with each other. The whole principle is that we do our best with these first three, metta, karuna, mudita. Is what we the way in which we do our best to help others and to help ourselves. But the final one, this is the resting state when we can do nothing more. It's in a situation where we have to let go. We do our best and then we just have to let go. We can't do any more. Rest in equanimity. Think of, well, this is ultimately, there's no more I can do. These are the forces of karma. All the rest is beyond my control. And just have to accept have to accept this, the rest, as best I can. Equanimity can be developed to a high degree, so one can be very accepting and steady, cool, serene through a lot of different circumstances. So one of the great Thayajans, the head of our order, is renowned for his equanimity. He's very cool, calm, collected in all circumstances, no matter where he is or what his conditions he finds himself in. A lot of very difficult things to work through. He had 200 monasteries, Nampolium, he's a very, very steady character indeed. Nothing seems to ruffle him at all. He was a very useful man to have around. He will tell you, you make all the best efforts you can. An example of this too, he's involved in all kinds of projects to help others. But he's also able to just accept the way things are, the things that he can't control or improve on, do anything about. And he's not thrown by that. So in terms of how to practice these, then there's often the way put forward in the text a method or technique is that you reflect on somebody that you feel good about. It makes it easy to practice these qualities towards somebody that you feel good about, and then you progress it on to imagining somebody you feel neutral towards and then somebody you have difficulties with. This is a commonest way I've seen it being presented as a technique. It's a use of thought and evaluation, and actively cultivated in this way the imagination. And as in all practices, but then they can start off in this way, a way of active reflection, using thinking and imagination, and wishing everybody well. May I be well, may others be well. Another way, you can breathing in, may I be well, breathing out, may others be well. And so this is calming the mind along with this practice. This is another step. When you have this quality, you sense this quality in the mind, then you can breathe in, may I be well, breathe out, may others be well. Another way of practicing metta. And then the higher way, for more experienced practitioners, is that when you can get in touch with this space that the mind goes into, and one practices metta, brightness, a little brightness in the mind, space in the mind, and then one can become aware of that and concentrate on that. Breathe that in and out. Breathe in the metta, breathe out the metta. And not just breathing in with the wish, may I be well, and breathing out with the wish, may I be well, but sensing the metta in the mind, seeing the metta in the mind, the brightness of metta, kindness, and then getting in touch with this more and more as this bright space, and breathing this bright space, breathing in through this bright, loving, benevolent space, spreading this energy, if you know, if you want to call it that, energy of the mind or brightness of the mind, spreading this outward. This was the highest practice, and this is why the interesting comment that the Buddha makes, that the highest kind of metta is merely the absence of ill will, which can sound a bit odd. You think, well, surely it's more benevolent than that, just an absence of ill will. But this is pointing at how we can arrive at a very natural state of loving kindness. So we drop the obstruction of ill will, and then the mind will naturally shines forth. When we've developed this kind of strength of mind, the dropping of ill will can be the immediate shining forth of this quality in a natural, spontaneous way. And this could be a very natural state. So it's the highest because it's the most natural state. And letting go of ill will can be a very natural thing that didn't require any effort. So that can make loving kindness into a continuous and natural state. Same as the very high states of mind, the beautiful states of mind, are ones that become completely natural and require no effort then to sustain them. And then this practice, of course, goes very deep indeed. Can take us a very long way indeed. So it would be very, very highly valued and respected. And some people have a real affinity with this. They're very loving people can then really get in touch with this on another level. People can become meditate and become healers, for example. Reiki masters, this kind of thing. So it's another way that this practice can take us, a kind of directing metta, as I take this to be directing metta through the hands, and spiritual healing. This kind of thing would be the direction that a person with this kind of tendency and in a very concrete way then get in touch with this kind of thing and get a sense of generating and channeling and seeing the result. And they give them great faith in this kind of practice. It'd be a very beautiful thing to do. Or I remember, I fortunately wasn't there, but a friend of mine tells me how one of the teachers in Thailand, he went to an aquarium in Australia, one of these huge aquariums, and a big glass wall, and all this huge tank behind full of fish, and he walked up to the glass and he put his hand up against the glass, and the normal reaction when somebody does this, these fish all run away from the hand, they're frightened and see a hand placed up against the glass. But when this teacher did this, and he did this, he placed his hand up against the glass and spread metta to the fish, and they all came, and lots of fish came to his hand, even the stingray that would normally go across the bottom were coming up the glass, up off the bottom to his hand. All these Aussie people in the aquarium are thinking, all going, wow, what's he doing? That's amazing, incredible. And this kind of thing's very nice because it's the kind of thing that you can't doubt. You see something with your own eyes. You isn't just playing a trick, you genuinely wanting to spread metta to these fish. Maybe he didn't realise what was going to happen. Not an ostentatious man, but the result was very impressive to the group of people there. Very lovely. There's a way we can make these practices very potent through the combination of the concentrated mind and loving mind together. So I offer this for your instruction, reflection, guidance, affliction.